to each one in Christ's precious name. I trust that we came praying, and I can assure you that if we did, we had a real earnest prayer in our heart that God would supply our needs. He's already done that. And we want to continue to look into the Word of God and allow God to continue to fulfill our needs or to provide our needs. You know, as we look into the Word of God with real sincerity and a desire and a hunger and a thirst to want to know the will of God for our life so that we can have the assurance that Paul had. God is faithful. We heard that this morning. He's faithful. If he really knows that we want to know, God will somehow provide for us to know and to understand his will for our life. And we sang this song. All the songs were good, and there was real messages there, but we sang about laying all on the altar. Do you and I want peace and rest in our life? I believe every one of us does, wants that. We want peace in our heart. We want peace with one another. We want peace with our fellow man. And this is right, and this is good, and God wants us to have this. But we were reminded also this morning that we need to be careful, because our enemy would want us to compromise to have peace, the truth of God's word. And so we have to be careful with that. And yet, every one of us wants, and I believe I can assure you this morning, we can have that peace. And we can have rest for our souls. This morning, for a few verses for the message this morning, are found in Matthew chapter 11, the last three verses, which are familiar to all of us, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What a beautiful assurance and promise that Jesus gave to us when he was here. And you know, I believe that every one of us, as we go through life, and we heard this morning about we meet up with circumstances and situations that are not pleasant to our flesh, that do take a sacrifice for us to be able to do what we know we ought to do. So we labor. We're heavy laden. Sometimes our hearts are burdened with things that are going on, things that we need to deal with or whatever it might be. And here he's saying to us, "Come unto me." Jesus wants us to come to him. He says, he tells us to come and to learn of him. You know, I think that every situation, God wants us, Jesus Christ wants us, as we face every situation of life, he wants us to come to him and ask him, what do you want me to do? How do I do this? How do you want me to handle this? He wants to help us. And only as we do that, I believe we can really find that rest and peace that he has provided for us to have. This morning, I have maybe a little different title for my message. I've been titled this message just a plain word, tension. And maybe that's a little different, but as I think of that, when we think about peace and rest, tension cannot be there. Tension has to be removed. And today I'd like to look at that and kind of consider that by the word of God and share some thoughts here of what Jesus Christ has promised to us, what he wants us to have. And here's one way that can be destroyed, or that we can lack having peace and joy, is when we allow tension to develop in our life. And it can happen on, we might say, every front that we face. Jesus promised us this, and he wants us, he has promised us rest for our souls. When we come to him and we learn of him, and we ask him, we desire to want to know the Jesus way to do it. the way that is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. You know, I can, as I face situations, I have my own emotions. I have my own feelings. I have my own desires. And I want to satisfy myself. But you know, that's not Jesus' way. We have to give that up in order to really find that peace and rest. And he talks here about his promises, I will give you rest. It's a promise. It's an assurance. We serve a God that never changes. And how grateful can we be for that? He never changes. He doesn't say, well, I'll give you rest, you know, one time, and the next time, if you do it my way, it's just, you're not going to find rest. That's not the way it is. God has promised this. I will give you rest, Jesus says here. He says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I don't know how many of you, you know, I've never had an experience of a yoke as such as they used to know, but Jesus used these kind of, we might say, illustrations to help the people to understand what he is saying. And they were probably used to having yokes of oxen, where two oxen were yoked together to pull a load or to pull something. I was, in my younger years, I was around horses some. My father used to work horses. And you know, and I know enough of it. I worked enough with them to know how important it is that they're hitched right and that they pull together. And this is what Jesus wants to do with you and I. He wants us to come to him, to be connected with him. We heard this morning about the vine, and the branches. And when we're connected with Jesus Christ, we have the assurance that any circumstance that I face or you face, he's there to pull that load with us, to help us through that situation, to help us to do it God's way, to do it in a way that God's blessing can rest upon my life and your life. But we have to be connected. We have to be yoked with Jesus. He says it's easy and it's light. You know, when we just take a yoke, for instance, or any kind of a burden, let's just take something that may, hopefully the children even understand. If you have a bucket filled with water, if you try to carry that bucket by yourself, it's a heavy load. If somebody can get on the other side and grab that handle and help you carry it, it lightens that load. It makes it much easier. It's easy to take that bucket to where we want to go with it. Much easier than if you just try to do it by yourself. And this is what Jesus is saying. If we come to him, if we bring our burdens, if we bring our trials, if we bring our circumstances, whatever they are, to Jesus, and we ask him to help us, to give us direction, you know, as we include him, we might say, as we go to him and we ask him, we want to learn of him, he'll make that load lighter. He'll make it easy for us. Maybe not always according to the desires of our own flesh, but we can find rest and peace for our souls. This doesn't mean that the Christian life is a life that is free from hard work. It doesn't mean that this Christian life is a life that is free from bearing some, we might say, weighty responsibilities. That isn't what Jesus is saying. We have to continue to deny self. We have to continue to discipline our minds and the things that we do, our deeds. What Jesus is promising here is not saying that you don't have to do that anymore. I'll take care of that. No, we still have to do that. We have to discipline ourselves to submit and to obey other human authority. All of us, we can say here, are under some kind of human authority. There are those that are over us, maybe to varying degrees as we are gathered here this morning. But we are under a human authority. And we are, by the word of God, bound to submit and to obey that human authority as long as it doesn't go against the word of God. And sometimes, you know, we as humans have a little bit of a struggle with that, or maybe a big struggle with that, is to submit to and obey human authority. But I believe what Jesus is saying here does mean that amid all of life's challenges, we can have rest for our soul, our inner being. We can find rest there as we truly go to Jesus, desiring to do what he wants us to do, and allowing him to show us, allowing him to guide and direct us. He will do that. I believe this freedom that he talks about is a freedom from a hard heart, we might say, against other relating with other humans. I believe it is a freedom from strife. Do we believe that? Can we have a life that is without strife? Jesus has promised us that in my way of understanding this. Jesus has promised me that I can have a life, I can have a rest and peace from strife with other human as I relate with them. They're going to come up. There are going to be differences come up in my life and you, as I relate with other humans. But this is what I would like to see and look at as we go through this message, is how do I respond to these circumstances that come up? Do I allow a tension to build up, or do I, we might say, diffuse? Or do I not allow? And brothers and sisters, for me to not allow a tension to build up between me and whatever circumstance or every area of life where a tension to build up takes more than my power. It takes the power of God in my life in order to not have a tension build up. And I don't think that any of us are exempt from meeting up with those situations where those tensions can arise, if allowed to. I believe fightings and struggles with my fellow humans and whatever my lot is in life, whatever God chooses for me in life, you know, there's this possibility for these tensions to arise. In Matthew 5, if we go just a little earlier on in this teaching of Jesus here, in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 38 to 42, he says, "Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, then turn to him the other also. And I will, and if any man will sue thee at law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." We've all heard that in the Old Testament setting. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What is the teaching here that I believe that Jesus is trying to bring out here? In verse 38, we might say, it describes a way of tension, of meeting force with force, fighting back or resisting or retaliating, we might say. And I believe Jesus is trying to tell us here that my way is opposite from that. My way is different. My way does not, we do not, in the New Testament dispensation that we're now living under, it is no longer an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It isn't up to me. You know, the Bible tells us, Paul writes to us and says that we are not, we might say, to take the punishment of somebody that even does wrong to us into our own hands. Recompense no man evil for evil. We are to turn that over into the hands of God. And we find that in Romans chapter 12, 17 to 21, I believe, it talks about that. But here we see that Jesus is saying, you know, if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. In other words, saying, go the extra mile. You know, that is so contrary to my human nature. So contrary. Turning the other cheek. when somebody says something that isn't kind, when somebody does something that isn't fair. And you know, I hear people that dwell upon that very fact. They say, well, life isn't fair. Maybe life isn't fair, but when we think about the many blessings that God has bestowed upon my life, the way of salvation that He's provided for humanity, the many promises of God, you know, it wasn't fair for Christ to go to the cross, we might say then, either. But He went there because He loved us. And you know, Satan would like for me to get to dwell upon the fact that life isn't fair. Because when he does, I'm going to not have the peace and the rest that Jesus has promised here. When I dwell upon the fact that life isn't fair. You know, Christ's way is to be thankful for what God has done for me. And to have the love of God in my heart. And that overlooks all these unfairnesses. That helps me. That gives me the power, by the grace of God, to look at things, you know, yielding my all, as we sang here this morning, putting everything on the altar of God. Unless I give Him my whole body and soul, we sang there. That's the only way we're going to have that peace and that rest that He wants for us to have. You know, I know of a situation. I lived in a community one time where we had a man that often came and asked to borrow something. Many times, those things didn't come back the way he took them. He was a man that, I don't know whether he didn't think about it, but he just was a man that was very precise and particular about returning things the way he got them. It was a situation that we faced. How are we going to respond to that? There's a situation for tension to build up. There's a situation for how do I respond to that man? The next time he comes to borrow something, I'll tell him, no, you can't have it. It's not available. I don't have it to rent out or whatever. Would that bring rest and peace to my soul as I went from there? No, it would not. Or not to me. And I believe I can say safely, not to the child of God. It would not bring a rest and a peace to our heart. We might say it's not fair that he don't return it the way he got it. And I know we face some situations where it's a pretty fine line sometimes on how do you handle situations. But in this case, especially, this was a brother in the church. And I think, you know, I believe Jesus' way would have been, he says here, if he wants to borrow it, let him have it. Our human nature has to die. It has to be dead. And in order for us to face these situations and that lot of tension to build up. So what is tension? You know, if I'd have had a little piece of rope, I could have brought it along this morning and I could ask Vernon to come up here and take a hold of one end of that rope and I take a hold of the other. And I could have told Vernon, now you go your way. And I'd have hung on to my end and I'd have stood my ground right here. I'd have headed the other way. That rope would have got under a lot of tension. One or the other would have to give up. Why? What would cause us to do that? We want to prove that we're stronger than the other. Or we want to, you know, we have some agenda that we want to prove. But, you know, if I tell Vernon to take off with that end of rope and I just follow after him, that rope never has a tension on it. And this is a material, or this is a temporal thing that we're illustrating, but this is the way it works with our human relationships. We have different directions maybe that we want to go. We have different things that we want to do. We have different opinions. We have different emotions and whatever. And these things come up. And how do I respond? You know, as I think of tension, you know, as we face differences of opinion and whatever, you know, how I respond, how I handle. Am I going to stand my ground, or am I going to just follow Vernon? Makes a difference in how we relate with each other. If Vernon and I are brethren in the Lord and we're Christians, you know, Vernon's not just going to take me and lead me wherever he wants to go and not worry about where I want to go or what I need to do or whatever. That's not the way we relate with each other. But there's going to be times when Vernon wants to go somewhere and I want to go somewhere else. Or we have different things to do. We have different opinions or whatever. Are we going to allow a tension to build up between us because I'm not going to give up? I'm going to take stand for my ground. It happens in home relations. It happens in church relations. It happens in business relations, in the workforce and whatever. We have these places where we relate with other humans. And how are we going to diffuse tension? You know, Jesus told us in chapter 5, in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers. We're not just giving up just so and begrudgingly so we can have peace. We are out to make peace. We are out to have peace. That's how we have rest. It might not be my opinion, it might not be my way of doing it, but when it works peace within the realms of the principles and doctrines of the Word of God, I find rest for my soul. I mean, I find peace. This is, we might say, a brother relationship. Sometimes, I'm just going to share, maybe it comes up that somebody in the brotherhood, or maybe the brotherhood sees that I'm doing something that's not supporting the church, the teaching or the practices that have been agreed upon in the church. And maybe I don't see it that way. But how am I going to respond when that comes up? Am I going to demand that other people feel like I do or think like I do? Or whatever, or am I going to yield my will? And again, I want to be very clear in this. We are not to go against the truth of the Word of God. We are not to compromise with sin. But there are differences of opinions and things and decisions that come up and are made in a brotherhood. Where there's people, there's differences. But when we have that same love, if we have that love for one another that we should have, you know, we want peace. We want rest for our soul. After a brotherhood meeting, can I go home and can I relax? Can I feel peace and rest in my soul as I go home from a brotherhood meeting? Maybe the decision wasn't what I thought or desired when I went. But am I willing to give up my thought and ideas for the brotherhood? You know, in the home, I grew up in a family with 11 children. We didn't all think the same. We didn't all want to do the same things. We didn't always want to do what mom and dad asked us to do, what the things that needed to be done to provide for a family of 13. First of all, as the father in the home, you know, there are things that I need to do under the direction of the Word of God as my call from God. There are things that I need to do in that home. And brothers and sisters, as I share these thoughts, it's not because I've always done this. It's not because I don't look back and see my failures with my family. But we as fathers can either create a tense atmosphere in the home, or we can diffuse that tension. The first thing we need is the love of God in our heart towards my companion, towards my children, every one of them. There dares not to be any partiality. We need love, and that love demands discipline. I didn't realize that, or I didn't understand all of that when I was small. And even as I grew up to where I should have, I didn't always agree with that. My father taught us. My father needed to go away to work. And we knew that when mom told us to do something or not to do something, that was expected. And I'd like to say to us as fathers, if we want to have a comfortable, a relaxing, a peaceful, a restful atmosphere in the home, we need to have so much love for our children to help them to understand that their will has to be broken at a very, and the sooner the better. I'm not talking about a baby that doesn't realize when it gets hungry or a diaper needs to be changed or whatever. But a child doesn't have to be very old until they have a will of their own. They're born with that. And we need to love them to help them understand that that will is not going to be beneficial for them as they go on in life, as they grow up. So it is our responsibility to help them. You know, when mom told me to do something as a boy at home, and I just procrastinated, or I just refused to do that, if I didn't listen, if I didn't obey, if I didn't willingly, if I didn't happily, joyfully obey, you know, I really wasn't looking forward for dad to come home at night. Because there might be some consequences that I faced. But the quicker dad taught me and helped me to understand that the way to be happy, the way to enjoy my life with the family was to obey mom when she told me. The most joyful time of our life. And brethren and sisters, as I grew up, I thought dad was pretty strict sometimes. I didn't appreciate all the things. But you know, I wasn't too old. I had my own family. And you know, today, and for many, many years, I can't thank my dad enough for helping me to understand that I had a will that need to be broken. And I see some dear friends of mine that didn't have that blessing in their home. And they've had, this morning we heard somebody here quote, that the way of the transgressor is hard. I have a dear friend that I spent many hours with. But he was pretty much able to kind of do what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it. But you know, he grew up into adulthood, into manhood. He married. Today, I don't want to be judgmental, but according to the Word of God, I don't see him as a child of God. And he's had many, him, his wife, his family, have had many disappointing and hard times. Because there was a father that did not do what he should have done, or could have done, maybe, I shouldn't say, but I don't want to be judgmental. And like I say, brothers and sisters, I have a wayward son. I failed. Somewhere along in life, I feel. But what I'm saying is, we as fathers have a responsibility from God, a calling from God, to do our part if we're going to bring children into this life that diffuses tension. We should be able to gather together in the home. The home ought to be a place where my children and my wife want to be first of all. Other than we're going to church, we enjoy that. But here on this earth, I, as a father, that ought to be the place where I want to be. Not at the coffee shop, not amongst a bunch of other brethren somewhere just spending time. I want to be at home with my family. My children ought to be happy to see me there. They ought to be glad to have me there. In fact, my brethren and sisters, brothers, there's many souls out there, I believe today, that are not living a godly life because they felt neglected by a father. Maybe the job was too important. Maybe even doing good for other people. You and I have families when they're small, when they're to be nurtured and admonished in the ways of God, that's our first and foremost responsibility. I believe. Yes, there are souls out here to win, but let's not lose the ones we've got in our home because we neglect them. Mothers, are we filling our place in the home? Are we creating a tension-free environment? Is there peace and rest within our home? And this can only happen when mother and father work together. We need to be one. Then we come into the church and we need to be one. But if we're not one in the home, if children are not taught, if they do not see that as an example in the home, let's not expect too much of them when they get a part of the church. Tension wants to build up. The enemy of my soul wants me to allow tension to develop in my life. And I can do that. But let's not forget, when I am not willing to yield my life in submission to God, to my authority over me, and I allow tension to build up, that tension is going to start creating a bad attitude, evil thoughts. And it just goes on, it gets worse and it gets worse. And the Bible would teach me that as I have a wrong attitude towards a brother or anybody, towards my employer or whatever, it's going to develop bitterness eventually. And the Bible says that bitterness not only affects me, but it says defiles many. When I allow bitterness into my life, you know, if I'm working for Brother Vernon, and I hope he doesn't mind me picking on him, but he's sitting up here. If I work for Brother Vernon, and Vernon asks something of me on the job, or Vernon has a way of doing something on the job that I don't agree with, right? There's got to be a better way than this. And if Vernon has more employees, and I start going around and I start talking to my fellow employees about this thing that could be done differently, this thing that would be better, in my opinion. First thing I know, or the first thing Vernon knows, he has some more people that are not happy with the way he's running his business or his workforce. It builds a tension. My tension with Vernon has now escalated into others feeling the same way. And pretty soon, as we keep brooding about this and talking about this, you know, bitterness develops amongst us. It just keeps defiling more and more and more people. It works that way in the home. It works that way in the church. It works that way on the job and wherever we go. Every one of us enjoys. I trust there's nobody here that enjoys strife and disagreements. I've met up with people that seems to be their lot in life. They like to debate everything. They like to disagree with whoever just to see what kind of a discussion or whatever they can have. I trust that we're a people that enjoy to have rest and peace amongst us and within ourselves. And you know, when we really, truly experience that peace and rest that Jesus is talking about here, I believe we'll do a lot of things to try to have that and to maintain that. And again, not compromising with sin, we stand for truth. And you know, sometimes on the job or in the church, sometimes when things are decided, when things are, you know, not according to the way I feel about it, I need to give myself to that. But let me say, if a church, maybe even as a church, makes a decision, maybe I see it as a beginning of a downward trend or a trend away from the principles of the Word of God. Maybe away from practices that have been safe for our forefathers before us. Positions that they've taken that were safe for us, that were good for us. And maybe somebody sees Satan likes to use people and start bringing disagreements, heretic type teachings and practices amongst our people, God's people. And maybe a decision is made that I see going in leading in a wrong direction. I believe it is right. It is my responsibility to share maybe a biblical, godly concern about that decision that's going to be made. But am I doing it in a way that will not create a tension? I've sat in Sunday school discussions when tension built up because of differences of people's opinions. And it's not wrong, and we ought to have an open mind. This is how we discuss the Word of God and learn. You know, I can read the Word of God, and maybe I get something out of the Word of God, and Brother Vernon reads it, and he gets something else out of it. He would explain it a little differently. And as we share together in a peaceful, in a loving kind of way, we can all benefit from each other's thoughts. Isn't that how we grow and understand in understanding of the Word of God? But if I'm going to say, I've sat where somebody shared a thought about a question or whatever that was asked in Sunday school, and somebody pops up and says, I disagree. You know what? There's an immediate tension right there. If that brother would have said, well, this is the thought I got out of this, and shares it in an open way, you can tell if it's shared in an open way to where the two can maybe complement each other. That's a blessing. But if I think that my way of understanding is the only way, there's going to be a tension there. And God does not intend and want that to be amongst us. Where we ought to... I didn't get very far with my notes this morning. The time is here to close. Brothers and sisters, I'd just like to share and encourage us. You know, may we be a people in our homes, in our church life, in the workplace, in our business dealings, and relating with people. Can we be a people? Can we experience this? Encourage us to experience this. God is able to help us to experience that in our life. And children, I'd like to just talk to you as children and as young adults, as teenagers or whatever. If mom and dad instruct you, if they encourage you to do this or to do that or not to do this and that, until you cheerfully, willingly obey to the biblical, I trust, concerns and desires and teachings and commands of your mother and father, you are not going to enjoy life. Or I didn't. In my home, mom and dad, usually on Saturday morning, was time dad didn't go to work, and so they went to town to do their shopping and get supplies for us as a family. I don't think they ever left without telling us what they want us to do while they're going. You know, us boys, we love to play ball. Or we love to do this and that. And you know, it's so easy for us to do that first. We heard this morning, you know, we like to have the best first. You know, we get started playing and not doing what we were told to do. And we knew time is running out, they're going to be back. But we were so enjoying what we were doing, we thought. And yet at the same time, we just hated to see them come home because we weren't ready yet. We hadn't done what they told us to do. You know how to be happy? How to enjoy life? Whenever we decided, when they went out to drive, and this happened at times, we'd say, let's get at it, let's get it done. The girls in the house and us outside, And we just hit it and we'd get it done. We got done and they weren't home yet. Then we went to play. We love to see him driving in the driveway. We enjoyed to see him come. But when we were just working as hard as we could go to try to get done, we weren't done. We hadn't done what they told us. And they knew that mom and dad never gave us more than they knew we could get done before they come home. So if you want to enjoy life, and if you can't do that at home, children, dear young children, if you can't obey and submit to the direction of your parents, to where you can have a home that you can enjoy, that can be happy, and there's not a lot of tension there, you're probably going to experience that same thing in school. You're going to go on and experience that same thing in your church life. In the workplace, if you're going to go work for somebody, you're probably going to have the same experience until we learn, till we go to Jesus Christ with a sincere heart, and we want to fully obey God, Jesus Christ, and every authority above us, as long as it doesn't dictate against the Word of God. Then it's when we have peace and joy that passes all understanding. That's when we have peace and assurance. That, you know, when we're in full obedience to what mom and dad have told us, and we can be happy to see them come. We can have that as we work with somebody. We don't have to be afraid when Vernon comes home or comes back and wonders what's been done. We don't have to worry. We've done our best. We don't have to be afraid of the school teachers when I hand in my papers. We can get along. We can have peaceful church settings. And we can look forward for Jesus to come again. We can have that full assurance that we've done what we know that we were supposed to do, that God wanted us to do. No. I believe everyone in here would say, I should be able to do more, and I want to do more. But we're doing the best we can. We're being in full obedience to what we know to be the will of God. And God will bless us. You know, when I think of an unfair life, I had to think about Joseph. His brothers hated him. They sold him when he was young. His master's wife lied about what he is doing and sent him to prison. The man that he interpreted his dream for was released from prison and said he would remember him and try to get him out of there. He forgot about him. How unfair was life really to Joseph? Did Joseph get bitter? No. I'm sure Joseph had some struggles and wandered. But you know, Joseph, I believe, had the peace and the rest that Jesus promised here to his people. And you know, when them, maybe say, hateful brothers came back to ask food, he became a ruler in Egypt. And you know, he told his brethren, you know, it was God that sent me here. You did it for evil, but God meant it for good. You know, I face circumstances in life. You face circumstances in life, and God wants to purify our lives. God wants us to be, he tries us like gold in the fire. He wants us to have a closer relationship with him. He wants us to have a better relationship amongst each other. He wants us to be able to function together without tension. And as I go through some of these trials, as I go through some of these difficult times in life, and when I go to Jesus and really desire to want to do what he wants me to do in that situation, and I learn of him, he gives me direction. You know, I can look back and see God was in this. God had a purpose for this. And we can thank God. May you and I. You know, I read somewhere one time it said that a man can take the fight out of a man. Or a man can, I can't get the words of it. The thought is If you and I want to fight, I can overpower you. But only God can take the fight out of me. Only God. It takes the power of God for me to be able to be that peacemaker, to be that person that diffuses a tension instead of build one. Let us always remember, Satan is the author of tension and conflict and difficulties. God is the God of peace. He's our source of peace and rest and assurance to where we can anticipate. You know, the angels told the disciples as they stood there and watched Jesus go to heaven, he'll come again as you saw him go. Do you and I really look forward to that time? Are we at rest? Are we at peace with God, with our fellow man, to where we are looking forward and just wanting him to return to take us home? Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, we pause before you this noon hour to thank you again for your blessing, your mercy to us, that we again on this Lord's Day were able, health-wise and even spiritually, had the desire to come and to worship together, knowing and understanding the need that we have of a never-dying soul to be nourished. And Father, we thank you for the word that does that. Father, you knew every need that was here this morning. And as we studied your word, as we, from the songs to the end here, Father, you knew you had a way. You can provide if we really want to be provided for. We thank you above all for the provision of our salvation through the blood of Jesus. Now, Father, we pray, help us to yield our lives, submit our lives in full submission and obedience to you, so that Christ is truly Lord and Master of my life, and the Holy Spirit is able to dwell within me and guide and direct me in all truth, knowing that if I follow that direction, your blessing can rest upon our lives. Father, help us to do our part so that there's not a tension, no ill feelings, no wrong motives, no harsh words. Anything, Father, that disturbs peace and rest in our lives. And may you receive the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.